So with that, I want to invite Jeff up to do Unity.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. You've just took 5 minutes of share there with what you just said. That's exactly what I was going to start off with. Yeah, so my name's Jeff and I'm an addict. That was the longest 2.5 hours of my recovery sat there at the end. My head, you know, I know you've all shared a bit about what's going on in your head, but for 2.5 hours, just why you sat there, man? Unity, what do you know about Unity? No, you shouldn't have done this, you know, but it's been going on for 2.5 hours. When I first got in recovery, when I was rattling off the heroin, and I'd wake up like 4 o'clock in the morning if I'd been asleep. And the 2.5 hours used to go over quicker when I was rattling and shaking and rattling, you know, than that. So anyway, I'm up here now anyway, so. Right, how was I going to start? Yeah, have I said I'm Jeff, I'm an addict? Yeah? Right, yeah. You know, I've been very... I didn't prepare nothing coming down here. And I gets down yesterday, and I think I'll have to prepare a few, you know, like a few bullet points. So I've been like sort of, I've been asking a few people and all, and every one of them just, nah, you'll be right, man. I'm like, can you not give me no pointers? Like, they'll be right, you'll be right. And then I'll last it here, I'll give you some good. So I got my pen, my paper out, and I'm like, right, I better put this down. And she said, speak slowly and clearly. Because we're from up north, and she said, remember where we are. So when I get nervous and anxious, I speak quick. Well, before I forget and all, see that? I haven't even got a name. You know, Spencer started when he first looked at this, and he was like, I haven't got a second name. And I'm like, I haven't even got a, nearly sweat there. I mean, my names are in there, so when I looked at this, I'm like, have they really got someone else, and they don't know if he can turn up. So I'm like, am I like just a second? You know what I mean? And I'm like, they don't really want me. And then I started thinking, well, I don't even want to do it anyway. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to go down there and do that. I'm like, where's Matt? Get his phone. I'm like, no, I won't. I'll leave it. I'll put it down. So yeah, at least you had your first name there. And it took me back to when I was a kid, because I thought being an addict, like when I was an addict growing up, you know, you have all these reasons. I'm an addict because this happened, or I'm an addict because that happened. My mum didn't give me a middle name, and I've got four older brothers, 2 sisters, and every one of them had a middle name. I didn't. So I'm like, I felt not wanted, you know. I couldn't connect with my family because of that. You know, I felt disconnected from them. And that's how I felt, Matt, when you didn't put my name on the card. But no, but that's how I felt most of my life. And I think I first experienced Unity when I walked in my first meeting. Like, as I said, you know, I wasn't connected. I couldn't connect to society. I used to tell myself I liked my own company because I was always on my own. I know that's not true today. My family sort of turned their back on me. I was still there with my family, but I couldn't connect with them. They didn't help me out no more because they knew it was for drugs. I was with a lass who... I was that paranoid thinking she was good. She's phoning, she's like going to set me up with the police. I'd been with her for a few years, but now she's going to set me up with the police. I couldn't connect with her. And then I walked into a meeting, and I can't say it today. I felt like unity. I couldn't say it today because unity was one of them words I didn't really understand. Just like a lot of other words I learned when I got in recovery. But I just felt part of something for the first time. I don't know if it was the first time in my life, but it was the first time that I could remember for a long time. Like I said, I didn't feel connected or part of anything until I walked into my first meeting. And that's what, like, what Matt said, you know, about we're all in this together. You know, I'm not that you're alone. I'm just like a small part. I think the tradition, the long form, the tradition says that I'm just a small part of a great all. And I'm going to read just, I'm not going to read much, don't worry, right? Just a little paragraph in tradition one. And it's sort of, for me, it's like a bold statement. It's like the unity of Cocaine Anonymous is the most cherished quality our society has. Our lives, the lives of all those to come, depend squarely upon it. We stay whole or CA dies. Without unity, the heart of CA would cease to beat. Our world arteries would no longer carry the life-giving grace of God. His gift to us would be spent aimlessly. Back again in their cave, addicts would reproach us and say what a great thing CA might have been. And for me, when it says my recovery depends on the common welfare of my group, for selfish, self-centered, dishonest, inconsiderate, lying, cheat, like I was, to come into recovery to say the common welfare of the group, other people, not me, but the common welfare of the group must be come before mine. That was like a big, even today, I think that's a big, powerful statement. You know, the common welfare of the group has to come before me. And like I said, unity started for me when I walked into my first group. You know, we all stuck together. You know, people were coming up, how are you doing? You know, and I was saying, I'm great. You know, like we all say, I'm good. Someone else, how are you doing? Good. You know, and they knew I was lying, you know what I mean? How are you getting home? Give me a lift home. I tried to lend money, but obviously that's not what's about. So that was a big thing for me when I first come in recovery. And like I said, I didn't really understand what the unity was about. I didn't really understand what they were doing. But it was a big thing because, you know, we've all escaped disaster together. You know, we've all came in this, you know, we've all escaped that disaster. We've all got a common problem. And our solution is a common solution. We all need to stay whole. And I'll just give a little bit of experience how, like, to keep unity in my home group. You know, there was a time when I went away. I'd done service in this group for like 3 years. It's not my own group now, but I'd been there from my very first day in recovery 3 years there, and I was doing service. I'd done all the service positions there. And I went away on holiday, and I was away from that meeting for 4 weeks. I think I had to do something the week before I went away. And I missed the group conscience. In that group conscience when I was away, they made changes to that meeting, you know. And I heard about it. I spoke to someone on the phone when I was still away, and he told me about these changes that the group conscience had made. And I'm like, they've only done that because I'm away. I'm not part of that group conscience, you know. And it's like, why change that? And I'm like, so obviously I was angry, I was resentful, and I'm like, right, when I get back, and I knew who it was in the meeting, it was sort of gang people up to make this decision. Obviously in my head, that's what I knew. I'm like, right, I'm going to see them when I get back. Because it sort of changed something or fixed something that wasn't broken, you know, and I'm like, I can't understand why they've done that. The way we already had it was the best way, and I think it was my idea. It's whatever it was. I got back to England, went back to the meeting, I was all angry, and I'm thinking, is this just my will? Am I just trying to impose this? Is this just what's best for me or what's best for the group? So I got back, and we had a group conscience, and I was still a bit angry, and I'm like, no, I think it was a wrong decision to change what we did, but the way I was going to come across was wrong, and I'm like, I'll just have to let the group just decide for itself. And I thought, I ain't going to say no in this group conscience. I was still angry. It never came up. And then the next group conscience, the time came, because the thing that the change wasn't really going too good. So I just said, and I calmed down a bit then. I'm like, because I believe if the group makes a decision when I'm not there and I'm part of that group, that's still my decision. I've still voted for that, even though I'm not there. It's part of the group. So I said, I think we all made a decision, you know, a couple of months ago to change something that shouldn't have been changed, you know, and somebody asked one question, and then, well, anyway, it got changed back to the way it was. And for me, I think that's unity, because I didn't impose what was I thought was good for me onto that group. I let the group decide themselves, you know, and for, like I said, for me, that's unity. And that's just at the group level. I think someone's already said, you know, we are a small part of a great all. We all need to stay and stick together. And I thought unity, because I was the unity chair in our district, part of Durham, and I used to just put sort of unity events on and get people together. And this is unity, you know, this is unity, you know. But then I took unity chair in the area, and it was like, and I seen the purpose of the unity chair at the area. And I'm like, because I took this unity chair in there, and I'm thinking, I'm going to be putting even bigger events on here, you know, for all of the UK. And then I was, nah, that's not what it's about. You know, and the purpose of the unity chair is to enhance the communication and the outreach amongst the diverse elements in the fellowship. You know, because we are a diverse lot, and it's, I tell you, and at the minute it's hard, I believe. Because we've got a few people here from London's made the own area, you know, which is, you know, the fellowship getting big. I don't know if it was on that video there, but I know the video yesterday was how the fellowship grew, you know, from 10 meetings, I think we had in 1990, or 10 meetings in the whole of Europe. And now the northeast of England have got 10 meetings, which is still small by the rest of the standards. But I just think at the minute, and I'm not having a go at anyone or anything, you know, London's made an area, Central's made an area, but the UK at the minute, somebody explained it was like a donut, you know, like London and Central's in the area, and then the UK's got the rest of it around the centre. So when I'm going to the area meetings, when I'm going to do area, like anything for area, I actually drive through two different districts just to get to my area. And it just, for me, you know, it just feels a bit like sort of divided. And I know the fellowship is growing, and I know a few of the other districts are becoming areas, or they're thinking about becoming areas. I've just been trying to get the communication going between all the different districts, and it's been difficult, because I think at the minute the districts are just concentrating on themselves and not looking outwards, they're just looking inwards. And the sort of, I believe in the time being, the message isn't getting out there. Because I know our area, but I know when we have our area meetings, public information and H&I and the phone lines, you know, that they're getting phone calls from people who's in different areas. You know, they're getting phone calls from people who's in London, people who's in Central, and they're trying to pass the information on. Well, the communication's been broken a bit, I believe. The communication's been broken a bit. So it's we hope going forward, you know, just to get that communication going back between all the different areas, you know, all the different districts. Because for me, I believe there's still a suffering addict out there I have to choose my words carefully. I'm not very tactful, so I don't want to sort of upset anyone. But I just believe the message, the lines aren't there, you know. Yes, Rehall, and yes, the district's becoming areas and we've grown. It's like, I know the public, the telephone lines, you know, they have calls. And half the calls they get are for people in London, you know. And it's like the CA UK phone line. And half the calls they get the people in London. And yes, they're passing the information on, but it's not always getting passed over. Because I just think there's been a bit of communication lost since London and the Midlands become new areas. That's the problem. So I think the solution which I've come up with area, or a few of us have spoke about, is to sort of have a meeting, have a conscience between the different areas, and to speak about this, because we are right in our areas, you know, I'm all right. I've got my own group to go to, you know, but it's about the new person coming in, you know. So I think that's it. I think yeah, there's one other thing I've got on my list. One more. Do you know there's not as many people in here today, though, is there? Not now is what we started. But wouldn't it be great if we all could go out, you know, in our... And I'm not saying nobody is, mind you, right? I'm not saying you're not already doing service and you're not already helping the newcomer and you're not already doing this. But wouldn't it be great if we all went out to our areas and did something for our district, our area, or our meeting that made it better, you know, if we all went out and done something like that today. So I think that's it for me. But just like, anyway, I'll finish off with this statement anyway. The most cherished quality is the unity, you know, is the unity our society has. So we might have the programme. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, we might have the programme. You know, we might have a God in our lives. You know, we might have service. But for me, when I first come to my first meeting, you know, like somebody already said, half the people in the fellowship are agnostics or atheists. I don't know the difference between them two, but I know they sort of don't believe in God. So half the people like me, you know, I'm not going to believe in no God. Yes, I would beat a dumb step on this. I knew I needed help. I knew I needed a power greater than self. But I didn't believe in that power. I couldn't get connected to that power. The power I had connected was in my meetings, was in the unity that they had in the fellowship. And that's why we need to stay whole, because a lot of people come in, God is just one of them words that I ain't going to believe. You know, I used to do religious education when I was a kid, and I hated that subject. And I'm like, I ain't going to believe in that punish. Someone already said they're punishing God. You know, so for me, I believed in the group. You know, and the unity is all about helping each other out, no matter where we're from. You know, we might have different cultures, different beliefs, different backgrounds. Might be young, old, black, white, Asian. It doesn't matter. You know, we're all human beings, and we're all in this together. We've all got a common problem and a common solution. And we need to stick together. And with that, I'm definitely going to finish and hand you over to Matt for the questions.
Thank you, Jeff. My name's Matt. I'm a recovered drug addict, and I think we're in good hands.